Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for us to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into us. If you have a good ground heart out there today, and this seed of the Word, this holy seed of God's Word is sown in your heart by the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to bring the Word, but He's the one through the power and person of the Holy Spirit that sows it into the heart. He is the sower that has went forth to sow. And I'm glad He has preceded me to sow seed in your heart today. Praise God. Amen. I would not dare to try to do that on my own, but I'm going to bring you His Word, the words from His mouth, hallelujah, and from God's heart. And if you receive it in the good ground of a heart that welcomes the Word of God, that is soft and ready, plowed earth that is ready to receive the seed. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's going to find good ground. And every time it did in the New Covenant, it says it, in and of itself, brought forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold to the glory of God. Hallelujah. So I'm excited about getting this seed in my heart, getting it in your heart today. Are you excited about that? Praise God. We need to get excited about the life that is in the Word of God itself today. Whether you read the Bible, you listen to it on some kind of device, or you hear it from a preacher, from the clay lips of a preacher, hallelujah, or teacher, however you're exposed to it, there is potential for 30, 60, and 100-fold as a result of receiving it in the good ground heart. Praise God. I want to talk to you today about a point to ponder on our Let's Talk About Jesus broadcast, and it is simply this: the powerful, unshakable peace of Christ. The powerful, unshakable peace of Christ. He left it to us. As His children, it is ours to claim and to experience, according to the Scripture, in our life, every one of us. But first, we must discover what His peace really was and what it was based on, because His peace can become our peace when we base our faith on what brought His peace to Him, because it's His that He leaves to us. And I'm going to read two places in Scripture that He talked to us about this and how we need it today. How we need His peace ruling and reigning and keeping our hearts and minds in this day of persecution, pressure, discouragement, all of the things that we are facing today. In the last days especially, we need His peace to rule and to reign. Listen, the Bible said in the Old Covenant, before I read these New Testament Scripture words of Jesus in red, amen. In the Old Covenant said that God, He will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusteth in him. Amen. If our mind is stayed on the Lord, and that means our focus is in him and not in ourself or in our circumstance, but in him. This is an exclusive laser-like focus, looking, setting our gaze upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher, the completer of our faith. Praise God. All right, let's get in the Word. John 16:33, I've quoted this so many times because of the pressure that God's children are under in these final last days. Listen, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me," highlight that, in me, you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What a comforting message Jesus has given us. Peace in the midst of the troubles of life, of the temptations of life, of the persecutions that come to all who will live godly. Amen. In Him, there is a place of perfect peace. Hallelujah. His peace can be had by us. His peace can be experienced by us. Praise God. I want to read that from the Amplified. Listen to it. John 16:33. I have told you these things, that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you'll have tribulation, trials, distresses, and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, and undaunted. For I have overcome the world and deprived it of power to harm you. Friend of mine, I forgot to tell you to put on your shouting shoes. You might as well pull them out from under the bed and slip them on right now. I like what Philip said also. He said, never lose heart because I have conquered the world. The reason Jesus Christ is a comforting Christ today is because Jesus Christ is a conquering Christ. He holds all power in heaven and earth. He rides upon the flood. He rules the wind and rain. His victory is our victory. Therefore, His peace is our peace. So listen to John 14 in verse 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, Jesus' peace, His very own peace, He now provides and promises to us as His children. I'm going to read it from the Amplified also. Once again, shouting shoes time. What He's saying here is so profound. It is so important now more than ever, because the Bible said the wickedness that would come forth in the last day would be like a dark, dismal, foreboding storm of wind and rain and thunder. It would be a storm like no other. And the wickedness in the world through wicked people, the wicked, the Bible said, are like the troubled sea, the storm-tossed sea, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. The storm on the surface is so strong, no matter how deep it is to find the bottom of the sea, in the deepest part, the storm above is so strong that it is stirring up mire and dirt from the bottom. You can't hide from this kind of storm. You can't go deep enough to find peace. You can go high enough in the Lord with the wings of an eagle to get above the storm and find peace. Amen. But you can't go deep enough in the ocean that is storm-tossed. If the storm is that strong, the wicked are like the troubled sea that casts up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith God, unto the wicked. No one will find it in any person or anything that this world has to offer. No drink, no drug, no experience of sin, no hiding from the realities of life through numbing ourselves with drugs and alcohol to the realities of life. But in Him we can find that peace, and in Him we can discover His peace, because it can now be our peace. Praise the Lord. And do not permit yourself, it says, to be fearful and intimidated, cowardly and unsettled. You see the contrast between the righteous, who they that wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, the scripture declares. They that look to the Lord, trust in the Lord. That's what that's talking about. It's an active word. It is not just taking a number and sitting down. Praise God. It is trusting God with an aggressive faith that is absolutely settled in agreement with the fact that when everything seems out of control, God is still in control. His sovereignty becomes our safety. Praise God. And in that safety we find peace. Praise the Lord. Listen, the reason Jesus is so comforting is because He's conquering. He has went before us to conquer the very world and all of the forces of darkness that is in the world system and the fallen world and the sin-darkened world. Praise God. He has met it, He has conquered it, and He did it for us. And He did it in a way to demonstrate that what looked like a cosmic defeat on the cross was really a victory over these forces. It looked like He was defeated when in fact His bleeding, His dying, defeated them and Him, the devil, in our behalf. I've conquered it, and I conquered it for you so I could give you my peace. Praise God. Hallelujah. John 14:27 again, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Hallelujah. Amplified once again, shout and shoot time. My own peace I now bequeath to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. I'd like an amen on that, because He says if you're allowing it, if I'm allowing it, it means I can put a stop to it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, looking back at all the negative events, the apparent defeats, the seemingly helplessness of Jesus in Pilate's hall, the helplessness of His death on the cross, the disciples were devastated. But after the resurrection, they realized God was in that terrible storm. Now the pressure is being brought to bear upon them. Their response was based upon the certainty that God is in control. He has all power over heaven and earth. And they became bold and confident. They realized they were involved in God's eternal plan and His divine purposes. Let the storm blow on then. Let the flood tide rise. God is still God, and His will still shall be done. Glory to God. Look how they handled the storm of pressure that came on them in the book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 24. And look how they put Christ's peace became their peace, amen, when they understood what His peace was. Listen to it, Acts chapter 4 and verse 24. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Lord. Now, they are under the threat here because a lame man was healed, said they would have killed them. But they could not deny that a notable miracle was done upon the lame man, and they feared the people, but they charged them under the threat of death or incarceration, or beatings. They charged them to go and not preach or teach in the name of Jesus anymore. Here's how they responded to that threat. It said, and they lifted up their voice to God. And with one accord they said, Lord, here comes the sovereignty of God, which is our true safety. Listen, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Amen. You are all powerful. You're omnipotent. That's what they're declaring. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage? The people imagined vain things. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Listen to verse 28. Here's his sovereignty, because he's all-powerful and he has a purpose in all things. For to do whatsoever thy hand, whatever you let them do, whatever you and your permissive will allow them to do. Praise God. I like the way Shambach put it, this evangelist, old-time evangelist, tent evangelist for so many years. He said, the devil goes about as a roaring lion, but when he comes seeking whom he may devour, but when he comes to one of God's children, they have discovered now, in spite of all his roaring and threatening, God has put a muzzle on him. Glory to God. Listen, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to read the Amplified of that verse 28. It says, to carry out all your hand and your will and purpose had predetermined should occur. Glory to God. Amen. How could it be God's will to let them take his only son to the cross? How could it be God's will to allow him to suffer and die like he did? It's because God's purpose in all of that suffering and all of that pain was to save you and to save me. For God so loved the world that he gave as a sacrifice lamb. He gave, hallelujah, to be crucified. He gave to suffer and die in our behalf, because his purpose for you and me as sinners in need of a Savior, in sinners whose only hope is that there would be a way, that God would find a way, that God would make a way to save us from ourselves, from Satan who wants our destruction, and from the eternal consequences of our sins. And he found a way, and he made a way. And if the princes of this world, the scripture said, had known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. They saw this as a way to kill any hope for anyone, when in fact his death and his suffering, his shed blood on that cross became a symbol of victory like the world has never, ever known. In his death, amen, he became the conquering King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise God. And he became our sovereign and our Savior. Hallelujah. Listen, their boldness to speak the word was because they experienced God's peace in the midst of all those threats and all those possibilities of these people that held such power that could order their death. But yet they said, if God wants us dead and that'll bring him glory, so be it, in essence. They had that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego attitude when they were just outside the fiery furnace, commanded to worship the false gods that man had set up. And the king said, if you don't fall down and worship when you hear this musical call to worship, then you're going to be cast in that furnace. And they said, king, we want you to, here they are. This peace they had and boldness that they manifested was because they knew God was sovereign and God was in control. That king that seemed to have all the authority wasn't the ultimate authority. Praise God. Shout and shoot time. I got mine on, you can tell. Listen, that king thought he had all this power and authority, and they would fall on trembling knees at the fear of being thrown into this seven times hotter furnace that roared with threat of consuming them in a painful, withering death. Oh, but friend of mine, here's what they said. They said, King, O King, let it be known that the God we serve is able to deliver us. But whether he does or whether he doesn't, we will not bow to any other God. And they left the choice up to God. They didn't say, Lord, if you deliver us, we'll serve you. They said, Lord, whether you deliver us or not, you're in control. And we know who you are. And we know you are in control. And we're going to declare what you can do. But we're also going to declare what we're going to do because we know that. We're not going to bow to any other God but the true and the living God. They threw them alive into that furnace. And the people who threw them in, the heat was so intense, they died getting that close to it to throw them in as they were ordered to do. As a blast of that flame burst up to its worst heat. Amen. Oh, the king looked in there and he said, didn't we throw three men in there? But I see a fourth man. I see another man. And there's something outstanding about that other man because he's glowing brighter than the flames of that fire. Amen. And they came out of there, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, without the smell of smoke upon them. Their eyebrows were not even singed. Their hair not even singed. The heat didn't touch them at all. God chose to deliver them from. But if he had chosen to allow them, he would have given them the grace and granted unto them that they would give their life to bring honor to him. And they had the peace to face that distinct possibility. They left it up to God. They didn't bargain with him, barter with him, say, if you'll deliver us, they'll see what you did. No, they're going to be so impressed. No, they said, whatever it takes, we're committed. We know you got the power, and we know you're in control, and we want your will. Listen, more than we want our way. If I had my way, I'd never experienced a pain in life. If I had my way, I'd never go through a fiery trial. If I had my way, I would certainly never have my life laid on the line. But there's something we're supposed to be praying. Amen. Don't take off your shouting shoes just yet. Amen. We should be praying, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, your rule, your reign. You're the sovereign God. Hallelujah. Let your will be done in earth and on earth as it is in heaven. Praise God. Before we ask for anything, before we believe him for anything, we're to acquiesce to his will, surrender to his will. Pray for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in that place of full surrender to his will and acknowledgement that he is in control, there is a peace that comes in the midst of a fiery furnace. Because there's a person who is now with us, no matter where his will may require us to go. Praise God. God is with us. God is for us. Amen. And we should never be afraid. The weakest Christian should never be afraid to say, Thy will be done, not my will. That's what Jesus is. He's praying according to this principle and the pattern prayer for every child of God. Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Before we ask Him for anything, we ask for His will to be done and His rule on our life to express that will, and we're willing to receive it. Hallelujah. There's a peace that comes, and that peace brought a boldness to these disciples. They said they want to kill us. They think they've got the power to do it, and we're willing to take that. It wasn't even a risk. We're willing to take that into account. Amen. Because we know God's in control. He just raised Jesus up out of that grave. Amen. And they had a boldness, didn't they? Knowing that God, sovereign God, had power over death and the grave. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Apostle Paul himself said it best when he said, Death, where's your sting? Shout and shoot time. Death, where's your sting? And grave, where's your victory? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Who would look death in the face and declare, You can't hurt me. You can't put me in the ground and keep me there. Praise God. Because He lives, I shall live also. Thanks be unto God which gives us the victory. That statement ends up with in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians 57 and 58. Thanks be unto God which gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Here's that boldness. Listen, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. Well, here we go again. Amen. Listen, and now, verse 29 of Acts chapter 4, 24. Listen. I mean 4, verse 29, And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto their servants, and grant unto Thy servants, that with all boldness they may speak Thy word, by stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. These were Spirit-filled people, but now the Holy Ghost was rising up within them, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. Old Testament scripture said, The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but God. Amen. Hallelujah. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Listen, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Glory to God. Someone said God wins His mightiest victories from the grave of an apparent defeat. Hallelujah. Oh, friend of mine, today, God can take even our seeming defeat and turn that defeat into a testimony and a victory, because ultimately He is able to make all things work together for good to them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. Because if we truly love Him, we want His will. We're not afraid to pray that. We're not afraid to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're not afraid to say in perfect faith in His faithfulness, Not my will, but Thy will be done, because we love Him. Praise God. That's why the Old Covenant says, delight yourself in the Lord. He gave you the desire of your heart. That don't mean just, really put on a praise Sunday because you got your eye on that Mercedes. You got your eye on that yacht. And that's where your desire is. No, honey. That word delight means concerning clay to be soft and pliable. The kind of clay that a master potter can shape into the vessel that he wants it to be. Praise God. Delight yourself in the Lord. And he will give you the desire of your heart. Because the desire of your heart when you're delighted in him would be to please him more than to please yourself. In fact, pleasing him will please you and me. Hallelujah. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. This is meat for people today to chew on. This is not some little sermonette for Christianettes that are never going to grow out of spiritual bassinets. This is a truth that can get a hold of your life and turn it upside down. It can take Satan's weapons of fear and deception away. It can take the troubled mind, amen, and turn it into a peaceful place where you can hear the voice of God saying, I'm for you, I'm with you. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Hallelujah. Be of good cheer. Cheer up, church. God is for us. God is with us. God is God. He's a right here, right now God, and he is in control. Praise God. Hallelujah. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're in the same world. You're in the same pickle we're in. We're in a fallen world in faulty bodies, and so are you. The difference is we have God with us. We have God for us. We have Christ's promise to never leave us and never forsake us, but to go with us no matter what we face and what we go through, to go with us all the way, even unto the end of the age. But the Bible says if you don't have Jesus and you don't have God for you, that we're without God and without hope in the world. And that's the most terrifying place to be. And it's no wonder people drink up, shoot up, toke up, smoke up, and try to numb themselves to the hurt, the pain, the pressure of living without hope. No wonder the demand for drugs. Part of the war on drugs is not just the cartels. It's people demanding them because of the pain and the pressure. And they're looking for something to numb them to the reality of tribulation. Not the great tribulation that's coming, but the tribulation that living without God and without hope and all of the things that occur to fallen world, sin-darkened people. Friend, come to Christ today. Come to the one that said, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in spirit. And you will find rest for your soul. All that troubled sea will become calm. Everything will settle down. You'll be safe and saved from the wrath to come. Come to Jesus. Repent of your sin right now.